Well, 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 here we are live. It's the news, according to me. Good Friday morning to you folks. It is Friday, February 3rd, February 3rd, 2023. Here we are, start of the new month, beginning of the new month. Live show here for you this morning. It's live. But did I mention it's live? Did I mention I was live? We have a big show planned. I don't really have any sound bites for you this morning. I was looking through some stuff last night. I was listening to some stuff. I got kind of inspired to talk about a few other things, and I don't really have any sound bites to put together for this. However, it has a lot to do with the book I'm about to write, or that I'm in the process of writing. I have a lot of notes. And this book, as you know, books, I don't have a ghostwriter. You know, these people who come out with books, Trey Gowdy has a new book, Mike Pence has a new book, Mike Pompeo has a new book. All these people have new books. I don't have that, by the way. All I have is myself writing notes and taking notes. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got for you. Interesting. So I have I have incoming information here that I have to deal with. So what we have going on right now, one of the questions I think that came up in my studies in the evening last night, and one of the things that the book is generally about, the general topic of the book, there's this understanding of, you have to understand where our currency is going and what is happening with our currency to understand really what is happening with the state of the world and the state of our current situation politically as well as just economically. There's so much that hinges on our ability to function with regard to trade, either from individual to individual. You know, everything from, you know, the kid down the street that wants to mow your yard, or in my case, I'm the kid, I'm down the street mowing somebody's yard to make enough money to buy some eggs. Or do we have a situation where we have, you know, businesses trading, stock market trading, world trade, international trade, manufacturing, all the things, you know, supply and demand, all the stuff, the stuff that gets bigger and bigger. And then you have the government and all the meddling that they do in our foreign trade stuff. So, and then, there's this whole other thing of, I would gladly trade my cup, well, not my cup, but what's in my cup for some chai this morning. I got to the worldwide headquarters here and realized that my stock of chai that I usually have here is gone. I never restocked it. Got down to my last. I don't spend that much time here anymore. And I usually, when I drink chai, it's at my house now. So I don't even think about, you know, by the time I get over here to this shop, it's usually middle of the day or afternoon. I've already had my chai. By that point, I'm usually drinking sweet tea. Now, as a backup cup here this morning, I do have some sweet tea with peach nectar in it. So, yeah, got that going for me. But I have hot chocolate this morning. That's all I got. I got boxes of hot chocolate. Now, chocolate has this weird effect on me. Talk about this a little bit, because I think it's worth talking about. Because maybe I can help somebody out there. If you have an eyelid that twitches, it could very easily be due to chocolate, or actually hot chocolate, especially Swiss Miss chocolate, hot chocolate. Now, I can eat chocolate, like a chocolate bar. I can eat chocolate, what do you want to call it, chocolate stuff. I can eat that, and it doesn't affect me. I can eat a, you know, Almond Joy, I can eat a candy bar, whatever it is. I can eat that kind of chocolate, Hershey bar. But when I eat, when I drink this stuff, And I'm pretty sure it's something that it is in, and maybe it's artificial sweetener or something. Maybe I don't know. It could be. I'm gonna make an adjustment here. Hopefully I won't lose everybody. I'm gonna put the noise gate on because, yes, that's much better. A lot of background noise that I'm hearing going across the interwebs in my headphones. I got rid of that. That's just there's a background. I got my furnace is running. It's been rather cold here this week, and I usually turn up the furnace in the morning. Of course, it's running, and I don't have the door closed. In order to get to the door, I have to go away from the microphone for quite a while. It's a long walk over there. It's at least two steps. Close the door, and I'm just not gonna do that. Mostly because I'm lazy. I have dogs with me this morning, and every time I get up, this affects my life in ways you don't understand. I have these two dogs who seem to think that they have to be right by my side everywhere I go. And so it doesn't matter if I'm in the house or here at the office. It doesn't matter where I go, what I'm doing. They have to be one on one leg and one on the other. If I right now, I have a dog bed. I have two dog beds under my desk here. Big, huge, fluffy dog beds. And they're both curled up underneath the desk right now. And my feet, I have no place for my feet. They're just basically, they're kind of wrapped around my feet. So I have that going on. Now, if I walk out into the shop area, and I say, I've got this, the worldwide headquarters here is basically half office space, and there's half of it is like a man cave shop type thing with all kinds of tools in it. Sometimes two or three tools. Same kind of tool. Because when I go to buy something, if it's on sale, I'll just buy two or three of them. And they ask me if I want the warranty. I'm like, no, I have a backup here. It was $35 for the tool because it was on sale. And I'm not going to pay for the warranty because I just went ahead and spent $35 for the second one so that if that one breaks, I've got it right there. I don't have to go to that store, spend $20 in gas trying to get back and forth to get my tool on a weekend when you're closed or whatever happens when I need it, then I've just got it. That's how that rolls. That's the way I do that. Of course, the problem with this is I have multiple locations. So I have a motorhome. I like to keep tools in there. So I don't like to have to take tools from the house and put them in the motorhome when I use the motorhome, even though I don't use the motorhome that much. I just feel like it needs to be in there because I'll forget to put the tools in there if I don't already have them in there. So, I've got all the screw guns and all the battery-powered stuff, and then I got all the tools and all the junk in there in case I need it because, it's a motorhome and it could break down somewhere. So I have all this stuff in there. And then I've got a boat, so I've got to have tools on that because it's a boat. A boat is basically a project that floats on the water most of the time. Most of the time it floats on the water. If you don't do some work on it, it may not float on the water. And it's a sailboat, no less, so that just adds to the, you have to spell boat with two T's. This boat stands for break out another 1,000. Well, in the case of a boat, sailboat, it's break out another 10,000. So there's two T's on the end of that boat. So anyway, I have tools at my shop. I have tools at home. I have tools in the house just for house tools. And then I have tools out in my garage that are, like car shop type tools, stuff that you don't want to bring into the house. Tools on my motorhome and tools on my boat. And I can't just have one. I have to have multiple tools in case one breaks. I always have to have a backup plan. So now I have a truck as well. And in my truck, of course, in all my vehicles, I have to have a toolbox because, what if you need tools? So I got a little toolbox for each of the cars. It's nothing fancy. It's just, just enough to kind of get you by. It's amazing what you can do with a pair of vice grips. So, and a hammer. So when I get something here at the shop, at the worldwide headquarters, I tend to have, a couple of them. And then I typically want to have the same thing at home because if I can't make it here to the shop or I don't have time to get to the shop, it's a whole 5-mile drive. It's a whole day, it takes me a whole day to get over here on my bike or if I walk, actually. So, Yeah, it's a crazy life I live. I have I don't know where I got off. Where was I going with all this? I think I started off with chocolate. This is what chocolate does to me. So the dogs here are here curled up at my feet. And they follow me everywhere I go. When I go out to work in the shop, they have to lay right at my feet, and I can't move. And I feel bad. Like at home, I left my cup back in the bedroom. Because, you know, I have to have my cup. And I'm out in the living room, and I want to go back and get my cup. Well, it's not just me going back. I can't just say, hey, you guys just stay right here. I'll be right back. No, they won't do that. I can tell them that. And they'll sit there for a couple seconds, and as soon as I go around the corner, they're like, I got to go. I got to find out where he's going. He might get lost without me. I better take care of him. So next thing you know, they're following me around. But of course, one goes, and then the other one goes. Typically the way it goes. So that's my life. They just continually follow me around. Right now, you can might be able to hear the one hacking a little bit. They got a severe case. Both of them got a severe case of kennel cough at this one kennel we take them to all the time. And it is not the kind of kennel cough that is typical, that a normal antibiotic has to deal with. We had to give them a much more powerful antibiotic for this particular type of kennel cough. We actually had to get a sample, a lab work done. Now, I have the feeling that the particular doctor's office, the vet's office that I take these dogs to, I think that they overcharge. They're both rescues. The one was actually in a puppy mill. Got rescued from a puppy mill. It was a true rescue, not just an adoption. He wasn't just abandoned. He was like rescued from a cage for the first year and a half of his life. He was locked in a cage. He had some skin problems. He had a growth on his skin, and the doctor here that I normally take him to, because they're really close, and they do a good job. They've never done anything bad, in my opinion, at least not too bad. They've had some opinion. They've done some things occasionally. It's like, I think you could have been a little more proactive on that one. However, there's a doctor that, a vet that's about a half an hour away, and I needed to have this growth thing taken care of on the one dog, and it was quite, you could tell it was quite irritating for him. He wasn't really in any pain, but you could just tell he wasn't comfortable. It was rather large thing type thing. I guess dog, it's typical dogs get this kind of stuff, but this one was a lot larger than normal. And he'd had it all, you know, pretty much all since I'd ever got him. So I took him to the local one here, and that one, he said, the doctor there, the vet there, she said that it was going to cost, it was some ridiculous, over $1,000 to have that thing. So I went and got another opinion from this other vet, who happened to be a vet that a friend of mine was using and always had good, you know, good experience with him, and he seemed to be reasonably priced. In fact, their dog had the same issue. They had to have something removed from his skin, and we had that taken care of. It was a fourth the price. A fourth of the price that we paid for, that this other vet wanted. So he got it removed. Everything was fine. We sent this lab work he had done because of the mucus that was in his nose, and he was having trouble, and he was coughing, and the other dog was coughing as well. And this is the first time that the big dog has ever had kennel cough. The little one's had it all. He gets it all the time. He just looks at another dog, he gets kennel cough. Now, so this one was a pretty severe case, and it was a different strain. And so we didn't know it was a different strain, so they sent it off for a lab. Now, the lab cost $250 or some ridiculous amount of money. My wife, for example, had to get a lab done for something, some kind of a test that she was doing. And it was a similar thing. It was because she had some kind of a cough. She had developed a cough of some kind. She had a lab work done. I don't know what it was all about. Anyway, she had lab work done. Sent it off to the lab. This wasn't the price she paid because she had insurance, but the cost that the lab charged, she could see the lab charge, what the laboratory charged for the culture and the tests that they did. $87. Or somewhere around there. I don't know. I may be wrong on that. It was around $80. We should have taken the dog over there. That's what we should have done. $280 for dog snot. So anyway, I noticed that there's nobody listening. I shouldn't say that. There could be people out there listening. So if you are listening, it's not. If you are listening, I appreciate it and I thank you. But there's nobody. My statistic thing here doesn't say anybody's listening, which is rather odd because normally right away there's usually people popping on here on the total count, and I don't know why that's not showing up right now. That's really bizarre to me, in my opinion, which leads me to believe that there could be something wrong with that. I don't know. We'll see. So if you're out there listening, maybe, I don't know, you're probably listening on a platform. It could be Spotify. It could be something like Sirius Radio or something. I don't know. You could be listening somewhere. It's hard to tell where all this thing goes. I don't know. If you're listening on the record player, you could be listening on your record player, Joe. Make sure you turn the telephone up at night or play the record player for the kids. This is the guy who's running the country now. Now, you know, I speaking of running the country, I've always kind of poo-pooed Mike Pompeo. Now, I'm not one to be afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I won't just go out there and tell you I am, but in this case, let me backtrack here just a little bit. If Donald Trump starts to get into the arena, if you will, he will dominate the primary at this point, in my opinion. Anybody who comes up against him, especially the larger the field is, the more dominant and predominant Trump is going to be. With regard to, he might only have 40% of the people supporting him, but if there's 9 other candidates, that's more than enough. It will narrow down to probably 2 or 3, and then it will come down to 2 again, much like it did in 2016, the 2016 election. And same thing's going to happen. My guess is there's going to be a large number of GOP primary candidates, people who want to challenge Trump. Most of them will be rhinos. Now, Mike Pompeo, the only thing that really bothers me about the guy is that he was the head of the CIA. In some ways, I like that. And in other ways, I do not. We've had other former CIA officials become presidents, and they seem to be rather deep state friendly or empowering in some ways. Now, you might get someone in the presidency who is a former CIA or deep state individual who potentially, because they know their way around and they know how it works, could create some reform within those organizations. That would be my hope, is that someone from that organization who knows their way in and out of it would step up and then make some slashes and some changes there in the way things operate. However, that has never happened, by the way. That's what needs to happen. It has never happened. So with regard to Mike Pompeo, he says all the right things. Now, John Stossel did an interview with him. I haven't seen the full interview, and apparently there were some things that John Stossel didn't like. However, what Pompeo is saying in this interview, from what I heard, I completely agree with. And I also agree that he's not trying to make promises that he can't keep. He thinks that the Department of Education should be gotten rid of. Namely, because the federal government shouldn't have anything to do with your local school system. Really, the parents should be in charge of what's going on at the school. They should elect the school board. The school board should be accountable to the people whose kids they are in charge of or given responsibility for. They're not their kids. They're not the school board's kids. They are given, their parents give them permission to teach their kids. They shouldn't just be pushing agendas from someplace up on high about what's going on there. That's his opinion, basically. That's basically where he's at with that. I have to totally agree. He doesn't like China. I guess he was speaking out against China so powerfully during Trump administration that Trump actually pulled his ears back. Told him to calm down a little bit. I had no idea that happened. At least that's what we're being told. Now, is this all an act? Is it all a ruse? I don't know. Does he have a shot? He might. If Trump steps off the stage, if for some reason Trump decides not to run or pulls back his position for whatever reason, maybe he has a health problem or whatever happens, I think Pompeo saying what he's saying among conservatives will have a pretty good shot. Now, the problem with Pompeo is he doesn't have the dynamic speaking ability. He doesn't have the communication ability. He doesn't have the notability or the notoriety. He just isn't a well-known person. He's not a dynamic speaker. And that's a big, huge part of being able to get into that office. You know, he's not the polished politician. Speaking of polished politicians, Tucker Carlson made a big deal out of this George Santos thing. All of the legacy media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, whatever you want to call them, they're all going nuts. George Santos is the most dangerous, he's the most dangerous person on the planet because he lied to get into office. Well, he lied about stuff before he got into office. He didn't necessarily lie to get into office, but he had all kinds of stories about his life that weren't true. Gee, who else might we point at on the large political stage that has told mistruths? Corn Pop was a bad dude. I got hairy legs. And I love kids sitting on my lap. Yeah, that's Mr. Joe Biden went on and on about how he had all kinds of scholarships and he graduated in the top five of his class or whatever he did, and come to find out that was all lies. Yeah. But they're going to pick on George Santos. Now, do I like George Santos? I know I don't like the guy. It's neither here nor there. I don't know what his politics are. I don't know how he's going to vote. I really, you know, if that's really, his lies don't affect my life other than, you know, if he's lying about how he's voting. At the end of the day, they have a vote. This is like Adam Schiff who comes out, well, you know, the Republicans, things are worse than we thought, so you please donate today. This is, you know, we had my local representative here, and I'm not going to speak ill of her because she has passed away. However, one of the things that happened, and this happens all the time, even someone I voted for that I liked, right after the election, came out with a letter. I received a letter in the mail talking about how now is the time to fight. Send your donations here. Donations for what? Don't they pay you? Don't they pay you to go and sit in that chair and then cast your vote that I voted you to do? That's your job. What do you need more money for? Am I supposed to buy you lunch now on top of this? What's the money for? I don't get that. Don't you have a budget? Somebody sent me this mail. Apparently he can buy stamps. Got the money for that somewhere. That come out of your own pocket? Just go down to the post office and lick the stamp, put it on there, and send it to me? I don't think so. Donations, donations, donations. It's all about that. Now's the time to fight. No, you're just supposed to go vote. That's what you're supposed to do. That's really all the power you have. You can talk about the bully pulpit. You can talk about making speeches or sending out ad campaigns or buying billboards, whatever. I didn't elect you to go out and raise more money. That's not what I did. I elected you to vote in the House. So just do that. How about it? If you keep doing that, I'll send you money to get reelected the next time, maybe. Who knows? Or I might just vote for you and that's all you get. I'm not sure I like this whole campaign financing thing. People should just have to support themselves and run their own money. There's no money involved in it at all. See how that works. You just have to go door to door and talk to people. Get her done. So Pompeo he's definitely going to be running for office. And of course, they wrote this book. He wrote a book as well. Everybody's writing books. Getting back to the whole book writing thing. Now, one of the things that I've been working on with this book, and the problem with writing this book is that it has to do with current events, and the current events are constantly changing. And so every time I sit down to kind of put things together, then something else happens. And the book is, in general, it is basically about the end times. And end times stuff has to do a lot with, you know, we talk about the cashless society. We talk about government control of some kind or some kind of control over people and one world government, that kind of thing. We talk about, you know, we hear a lot about the New World Order, all these kinds of things. And there's the traditional kind of westernized idea of what the end times, you know, revelation, biblical apocalypse is going to look like, what the tribulation and all that stuff. And then there is the, you know, the conspiracy theories out there about the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds, the banking systems, the World International, the International Monetary Fund. There's all kinds of things that are based on this idea of who's in control and what's happening and what's the agenda out there. There's somebody watching us. And the book that I'm writing is essentially about those things. And it talks about like education, the food industry, the money system, marketing itself, housing, land, governmental control. All these different aspects of our lives that are affected by these things and how the conspiracy behind it and who's behind it, ultimately behind it, and why it's a confusing and kind of sometimes hard to follow, dimly lit kind of world behind the curtain kind of thing. And my goal with the book is to kind of open up and shed some light on what's happening behind the curtain. So that's what's going on there with that. In the meantime, and the money system has a lot to do with that. Now, there's a fellow who has predicted a few things. Of course, it's always easy for these people. There's this one channel on YouTube that they play a lot of Robert Kiyosaki and a couple other guys that are there, and they always have this over-dramatized thumbnail. You know, it's all coming down, and you know everything's going to crash in 2 months. It's already beginning. The crash is beginning. Every time, and of course, you know, you watch. They take their videos off if it says it was going to crash in 2 months, and then they take that video off. Of course, the next one says, you know, in 2 months it's going to crash. It's all happening. Right, it's happening right now. Here it goes. It's coming down. And then it's just like Kiyosaki or somebody else just talking the whole time about something, and it has really nothing to do with the thumbnail necessarily. And it's not necessarily bad stuff. It's kind of interesting stuff. Now, I'm not a financial counselor, as I've said before many times. But he goes on about this thing. And I got to make an adjustment in my microphone here because it is just, there we go. That's better. Because he continues to put these videos out all the time. And it's like, well, it's sensationalism. That's what it is. And the guy, you know, he plays this stuff, and there are always those fear mongers out there that, and at some point he's going to be right.
Well, see, I told you 2 months ago, I said it was going to crash in two months.
Well, you said that every day for the last 3 years. It finally happened, and now you say you said it too. Okay. I see where you're going with this. But there is this guy is not that way at all. He actually predicted some things. Now, he did predict 2001, he did predict 2008. Nobody predicted the pandemic. However, there were people who were hoping for one. The interesting thing about this is the whole idea of digital currency. Now, I think that one of the things that crypto has done with politicians is that they see in the banking industry, they have seen that there is an acceptance for digital currency. Now, cryptocurrency is not necessarily the same as digital currency. They are going to tout it as a digital currency because that's what it is, which more than 90% of the money we exchange is done digitally already. But they want to go to a completely cashless society. I heard a really funny thing the other day. Somebody said, this guy told his son, he said, money doesn't grow on trees. How many of you heard that growing up? Because as a kid, you know, it's like we think that our parents just have this unlimited supply of money. And it, hey, Dad, get me this. Give me that. We go through that little stage. We might have been when we were 3 or 4, or it might have been when we were 15 or 16, or maybe a couple times, or maybe it was from the time we were 3 to the time we were 16. Who knows? We get this idea that somehow, you know, our parents are made of money, and they would just keep asking for things. Oh, I can't get all this. Then we throw a tizzy fit because we can't get what we want. And this, you know, at some point you'll hear your parents say, well, money doesn't just grow on trees. And this kid said, hey, can you pull out your wallet? Let me see that money in your pocket. What's it made out of? Dad didn't say anything. He realized he'd been had. His money was made out of paper. Paper comes from trees. Yeah. Kind of got you on that one, didn't I? Yeah. It's printed out of nothing. It only has value because the government says it does, because the government can... Really, what it boils down to is you can pay your taxes with it, and that's why it's important. That's why it's valuable. The government has the wool pulled over your eyes thinking that this piece of paper is worth something. Because they say it is.
Well, it has the full backing of the U.S. government.
Well, that's great. U.S. government is $32 trillion in debt, and it's actually more than that. Here's the problem with the whole debt thing. Now, there are actually people on the left, some insane individuals on the left who think there shouldn't even be a debt ceiling. Oh, we shouldn't even have a debt ceiling. What is the purpose of this continually printing money and this exponential increase in spending and debt. Joe Biden comes out and says, I removed $1 billion from the budget, from the deficit. $1 billion.
Play the record player at night.
So Joe, why are we raising the debt ceiling if you've cut the deficit so much? If you've done so much to reduce spending, why is the debt ceiling going up? Why do you want to raise it? If we're doing so well, everything's so great.
Well, we got to, you know, the war pandemic.
Yeah. So we have, again, the hypocrisy is glaring. And it's sickening, really. Because they make these kinds of statements and they're
absolutely,
they just lie about everything. Let's just say it the way it is. They play these games all the time. So what is the end game? And the debt is not going up linearly. It's not just going up, well, every year we borrow another $1 trillion.
Well, no, at first it was, you know, a billion. Then it was, you know, a couple billion. Then it was 500 billion. Then it was a trillion. Now it's going up, you know, $1.5 trillion every year. Now it's going up $2 trillion. Now it's exponential debt increase. It's not on a linear straight line. It is going up in an exponential curve. At this rate, by the end of 2020s, by the end of 2029, we will be close to $100 trillion in debt if things just keep on going the way they are. What is the end game in this? The end game is they want to get rid of the dollar as we know it and go to a digital currency. Oh, look, the federal government's going to come out with their own crypto. They're going to call it a cryptocurrency. It's not crypto at all. It's just digital money. They're just going to get rid of cash. It's not going to be anything different than what you have on your credit card or debit card now. It just will all be done with a debit card and probably mostly through your phone. So you will not be able to trade if you don't have a cell phone in your hand and the PIN number in your head. This is going to be, and of course at some point this is all going to be RFID trip chip stuff. My understanding is, is it Home Depot, I think it is? They're having a problem with people walking off with power tools. So now they've developed a way to put a RFID chip into the tool so that it doesn't work until they pass it through the little scanner to activate it. So when you walk out the door, if you walk out the door without doing that, it, of course, now nobody's going to be able to hack that, of course, I'm sure. Because, you know, that's not hackable. Like, nobody can hack your debit card with a scanner. So the only people who aren't going to be able to, the thing that's going to ruin this for everybody is that you're going to get this, and for some reason you're going to get it close to a magnet, and it's going to activate that thing again, and then the next thing you know, who knows what's going to happen there. For some reason the tool won't work, and you've got to pay $40 to get the thing, you know, take it back to the store. Oh, you were a thief. You stole this, because it only works. My goodness, my dog is coughing again. So we had this, the only reason this thing works is, it doesn't work, is because you stole it. We're going to put you in jail now. That's great. I just wanted my drill to work. Yeah, my dog's coughing. I have to give him a little pet here to kind of settle him down a little bit, so I can to pat him a little bit on the side, get the phlegm out. So we have, go somewhere else, would you? So I'm trying to do a show here. So, poor guy. There he goes. He's feeling better now. Go get some water. So I think that their goal is to collapse the dollar to the point where nobody has confidence in it. We're going to come out with this new thing. We created this problem. Now we got the solution for you. That's the way it always works. We create an emergency that we have the solution for, and it just makes things worse. Leads to some to the next emergency that they have another solution for. And always the solution always involves you losing more of your freedom and your independence and your liberty. So it always works that way. Well, we're going to give you security now. This will be a safe and secure way to keep your money. Oh, yeah, I bet that's going to work, right? Go ahead and do that. Thank you so much. Yeah, so we need to, I think we need, as a fix for this situation, we need to really be seriously thinking about how we're going to trade with each other, how we're going to be involved in bartering, which will be illegal. I think actually bartering right now, as the IRS sees it, is actually it is actually illegal, the way I understand it. Now, speaking of the IRS, I don't think anybody's done the math on this. This new funding bill, the anti-inflation bill or whatever they called it, Inflation Reduction Act, whatever they called it, the IRA. Part of that deal was an investment in 87,000 new IRS agents. We're going to use those agents to go after the rich. Now, wait a minute. I thought you said that the rich, you know, you're talking about the top 1%, the 1%. Go after the 1%. By the way, Bernie Sanders has a book out now, too, as well. He has a book out now. It's How to Defeat Capitalism. He's using capitalism to sell it, by the way. He's going to have a rally to launch the book. It costs $95 to attend the rally. Selling tickets. Because, you know, he needs money to pay his taxes on his multi-million-dollar homes. Oh, have a summer camp. Everybody has a summer camp. A lot of people here have summer camps. Thousands of people here in downstate New York have summer camps up north. It's a summer camp. Makes it sound like he's just got a little tent pitched up there somewhere. That's $1 million home. Summer camp. Yeah, I just got to get the old pup tent from Walmart, put it up there on a little corner of a little grass strip up there. We got a little spot up there between two trees. That's camping, Bernie. Yeah, so that's the kind of people we're dealing with here. So he's writing a book as well. Everybody's writing a book. I'm writing a book. Mine'll probably never get done. But that's everybody else is getting theirs done because they're not actually writing their books. They have ghostwriters write their books. I can't afford a ghost. So what happened to my I thought my hot chocolate was empty, but there's still some in there. I'm kind of surprised. I have the room kind of dark here. All I have is the computer screen on. Can't really see inside my cup. Hope there's nothing else crawled in there. I better just drink it all or else I'll end up spilling it. There we go. That's all gone. Now I can start with the sweet tea. All right, now, where was I? Back to the whole digital currency thing. They want to collapse the dollar. Come out with this. They're going to roll out this new plan. And that's my opinion. That's my hypothesis. That's my theory. And we are screaming rapidly towards that. The technology is all existing. Now, when you look at the end times, some of the end times prophecies, one of the things that's very obvious, it says that at one point these two witnesses will be killed and the entire world, they'll have cameras on them. Basically, the entire world will see them. The entire world will see them laying dead on the street, and the government will keep them there as an example, basically to shut up anybody else who wants to, they're making an example out of them, basically what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, a voice from heaven basically says, come up here, and they rise up from the dead, and the entire world sees them, and they head up into heaven. Well, you know, 2,000 years ago, we would not have known that that technology existed for the entire world to see someone. And yet, that is where we're headed right now. With a satellite internet system that everyone has access to, with cell phones that everyone's carrying around, even in developing countries, they can see what's going on live anywhere in the world. And yeah, that's going to happen, in my opinion. I had to sneeze there, but you didn't hear it because I pushed the mute button. I have a... Back to the... What was I talking about? I was talking about the digital currency thing. I was off. Oh, the IRS agents. Let's talk about the IRS. Do the math on this. IRS agents. 87,000 IRS agents. How many states do we have? We have 50 states. I'm going to pull the calculator out here so I don't get the numbers wrong. 50 states. So 87,000 IRS agents divided by 50 states. That's 1,740 IRS agents for every state in the union. 1,740 agents for every state in the union. Do you think we have that many millionaires and billionaires?
Millionaires, billionaires.
No, he stopped saying millionaires and billionaires. Now all this is billionaires, by the way. Bernie doesn't talk about the millionaires anymore because he is one.
We have to tax the billionaires.
It used to be millionaires and billionaires, not just billionaires. So, 1,740, apparently. Apparently, there are 1,740 billionaires in your state. And they got an IRS agent assigned to every single one of them. So, one agent is going to be working with that billionaire in your state for the entire year. Every year, that billionaire is going to be assigned to that. I mean, how many billionaires do you have in your state? That's quite a few. That's $1,740 billion. That's how many billions there are. We're into the trillions now. That's $1,740,000,000. Dollars, supposedly, for these. That's just if each of them have just $1 billion. That's how many billions there are. So, what happens here is they're not just going to go after billionaires. There's already plenty of agents out there. They've actually doubled the size of the number of agents, of IRS agents, doubled the size. Who do you think they're going to go after? They're not going after billionaires. This isn't even how many. Most states, I think the average number of counties within a state is fewer than this. Fewer than 1,740 counties in every state. So even if you just assign one new IRS agent for every county, that's every single county in the United States. They're coming after you. Now, supposedly, the House has defunded this whole thing, or they're planning on it. I'm not sure if they have or not. We'll just have to see what happens with this. But that's my understanding. They have plans. They're going after the little guy. They have plans to do things with the dollar that, you know, are nefarious, in my opinion, as well. And it's not so much the politicians. I think the politicians are just pawns. I think it's the money people behind this is the International Monetary Fund, the World Economic Forum, all the people in banking, the big bankers. They're the ones who are behind this whole thing, the Federal Reserve. Which the Federal Reserve and the IMF are the same thing. They're it's just the foreign entity of the Federal Reserve. Why do you think the dollar has remained the standard world currency? Yeah. So Ilhan Omar, let's talk about a few things yet before I close the show. Ilhan Omar, now people are throwing tizzy fits about Ilhan Omar being kicked off the Foreign Relations Commission or whatever it is. She makes this statement. She said, my voice will just get louder. This is the only clip that I was hoping to be able to find. My voice will get louder and my leadership will be known, will be praised or known throughout the world. Not in the United States. Throughout the world. Her leadership will be celebrated throughout the world. Who says that? What kind of person says that? What do we care about what some other foreign country says about your leadership? Since when does that even matter to us? Because again, she hates this country. She hates the United States of America and what we stand for. That is Ilhan Omar. Now, you can say what you want to about this country. Has this country done some things wrong? Has this country had gotten it wrong? Do we have some policies in place that are not good? Absolutely. Have we done things to other nations that we should never have been meddling in? Absolutely. Are the founding principles of this nation appropriate and should they be celebrated and held to and defended? Absolutely. And it's when we have not defended those principles and we have not upheld those principles that we get ourselves involved in activities that 90% of the time we should not be involved in if we were holding those principles. Now, there are times when we make mistakes, trying to hold those principles and you make mistakes. There are instances of every human being making a mistake where you thought you were doing the right thing or you were trying to do the right thing and things just didn't go well for whatever reason. Those are the kinds of things that are forgivable. And we can make amends and we can go back and we can try to fix those things and work on them. But this never-ending idea that there's this bottomless pit of evil in the United States, it's all it's founded on is evil, because the founders who laid out these principles, by the way, that they're, now they're screaming racism. Oh, the Republicans are just racist, racist, racist. Look at all the race. They're bringing up the racism word again. It's all about racism. It's sickening and it's tiring and it's getting old. Unfortunately, they're striking a tone. They're striking a chord with some people who don't know any better. Yeah, they're all a bunch of racists. They're the ones who are constant. Everything's about race with them. Everything. They don't see anything outside of race. This idea that you're going to group people into groups and then pit them against each other. That is the constant battle cry that they have all the time. They want to put you in a pigeonhole, put you in a group. Here's the group you belong in, and we're going to protect you now because you're in this group. Come to the group here, folks, like a bunch of chickens, like a bunch of cattle, and then we'll protect you over here. Just a bunch of chattels, all you are. That's the way they see you. They want to manage you and form you into their image. You will own nothing and you will be happy. And that's the way it is, whether you like it or not. You'll be happy and you're going to eat your peas and you'll be happy, whether you like them or not. This is the kind of dictatorial fascist imposition we have coming our way, folks. And I'm just here to tell you. I'm just here to warn you that it could potentially happen. So, as we end this show, as we bring it to a close, where do we go from here? Well, we go to our knees. That's where we go. We start to pray. And we find out, what is God saying to us in this hour, in this moment, in this time? First and foremost, we proclaim His truth. He's given us that mission, we know for sure. And then as He allows and as He gives us unction, we expose the works of the enemy, which involves, of course, telling the truth, making those around us aware of what's happening, praying for our church leaders who seem to be bought and sold by the idea of, well, we have to maintain our 501c3k or 501c organization, 501c. So we have to, you know, we're going to lose our donation status, which means we're going to lose our financial income. You know, me and a friend of mine, we started our own little home group church type thing, and we don't collect any funds. We don't care about the 501c3. We don't even take donations. I mean, there are some people who donate some money for things that, like little expenses here and there. We pool together, but we don't have a charitable donation status business, which is what most churches have become, and they're all concerned about losing their 501c3 because then donations are going to go down. No, folks, if you're giving because of the tax deduction, you're giving for the wrong reason. It's nice to get the tax deduction. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind. I don't mind giving to organizations and getting a tax deduction at the end of the year. That's nice. That's not why I'm giving. That's not at all the reason I'm giving at all. Now, maybe some people are. If it is, if that's why you're giving, then shame on you. That's just my opinion. I don't know. You can give for whatever reason you want. Good, you know, glad you're giving, at least. But it's, yeah. Anyway, folks, it's Friday. We're on the eve of Shabbat. As the sun sets this evening, we will be entering into rest. I want to thank you all for listening to me this week. Now, next week, I don't know about the show next week. It's going to be really difficult. There probably will not be a live show next Friday. I hate to tell you, because I'll be busy as a bee all week from 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll be on actually Central Time next week, and so it'll be, yeah, but it'll be a long week for me, I believe, next week. I might have some evening shows, what I might have to do. Maybe I'll have a Friday evening show or a Thursday evening show that's live. We'll have to see how things go, but I'll be very, very, very busy. God bless everybody. Pray for each other. Pray for our nation. Pray for your leaders. Shabbat shalom. Have a great evening.